Family and friends, I want you to picture the following scenarios with me for a moment this morning. A child sexually abused by their father. A daughter raped by a family member. Children caught in the throes of sin and now lying to their parents. People just like us, strung out on drugs. A mother more concerned for the drugs than for her children, so giving her children over to whatever man traipses in and out of her life. A prostitute selling his or her body for profit. A spouse that's being verbally or spiritually or emotionally or physically abused. An organization that cares more about the corporate image than it does in dealing with the sins of their leaders. An alcoholic and the damage they inflict on their wives or their husbands or their children or their parents. An adulterer, one who is running around on their mate. Perhaps their children as well. Divisive relationships. Jealousy. Run amok. Promiscuity. Emptiness. Depression. Chronic irresponsibility. Family breakup. Misuse of finance. Divorce. Violence. Chemical addiction. Indulgence, bankruptcy, low self-esteem, man, woman, or child caught up on the internet in the throes of pornography, or a virtual relationship that is unsustainable. Parents suffering from the verbal abuse of children whom they love just simply because of their child's willful disobedience. That list could go on and on and on. Bitterness. What do all these scenarios add up to? The general aimlessness of a world and society that is living apart from God, that's brought into the lives of people the world over priceless amounts of shame and confusion. Now I want you to picture a holy, righteous God sitting on his throne in heaven. And if you've ever been or committed or been caught up in one of these things that have been mentioned here this morning, either you were an instigator or you've been the victim, or maybe you've been both. Is it easy to believe that God loves you unconditionally when those who are supposed to love you are so conditional in their love? Picture the child who's being sexually abused, either by a parent, teacher, coach, deacon, pastor, you name it. A child's first glimpse of what God is like is not only their father, but those who have authority. If God is God, why is he allowing this person to do this to me? If God is God, Why is my husband or my wife out running around after another? If God is God, why is he allowing my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter to drink themselves or drug themselves into oblivion? If God is God, how can God love me when I've murdered my unborn child? If God is God, why wasn't I a better parent? After all, if I was a better parent, my children wouldn't have the issues that they have today. They wouldn't be dealing with what they're dealing with. Would they? I think at one time or another, every family deals with questions such as these. After all, the statistics are startling. But why do the questions come? Because of shame, isn't it? Be finding in God's Word this morning, Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, the 25th verse. And when you find it, please rise to your feet or shout amen. Let's honor our God this morning with the reading of his word. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh, Father, so often in our shame we hide. We wear masks. Sadly, we do that even inside of a church. We do it in our homes. We do it just about wherever we are. Lord, this morning we pray that you would take this message beyond our ears and right down to our heart. That you would deal with us where we are, as a society, as a nation, as a church, as believers in the community. Lord, for all of us know, if we're honest this morning, what it means to fall short of your glory. So Lord, this morning I pray for people who are at home in front of their computer this morning, that they'll not let the distraction of things going on around them distract them. I pray for us here this morning that we would not be distracted. And Lord, together we pray for your will to be done in our hearts, in our minds. We pray that we would learn this morning that we can replace our shame with your glory. Oh Lord, remove the bitterness that so often characterizes or comes out of us. Take that root away. Lord, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Shame. Do you know that the word shame is mentioned 110 times in 107 verses from Genesis to Revelation? Here's just a few this morning. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Ephesians 5, 5 through 7 and verse 12. To the disobedient apostate church in this Laodicean age, Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Revelation 16 and 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Shame. Truth is, we've all experienced it. Whether we want to admit it or not, we know what shame is. We've all failed God at some point in our lives. Sin enticed us. We fell to the temptation in some way. We caved. And the result? Shame. Why shame? Because of our guilt, and because God has put a arbitrator in our heart called the conscience. The Bible says in Romans 2, verse 11 down through 16, for there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts to mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Are you aware the Hebrew word for shame means to be whispered about by spectators? To be haunted, to be disgraced, to be rebuked, to be reproached, to be disfigured, dried up, blemished, considered with contempt. And if, even if others don't consider us with contempt, how often do we consider ourselves with it because of the guilt of our shame? Is it any wonder when we think about this that sinners are afraid to come to church? When we think about the list that we gave at the beginning and the scenarios that are mentioned, because those are real life things. We know what we have done. We know how we would feel if our skeletons of our sin came out of the closet. No wonder Adam and Eve ran and hid from the all-seeing God, because the list given and the scenarios mentioned this morning would be as if our worst nightmares were to come true. Shame. It's the complete loss of glory. No wonder Adam and Eve ran and hid. The Bible tells us their eyes were opened to themselves as creatures who had forsaken the one who himself is all glorious. Their shame was overpowering, so they covered and they ran and they hid. You see, creatures meant to see God, creatures meant to reflect his glory, are now groveling in a trash dump pumping veins full of heroin, selling bodies, torturing, maiming, screaming, insults, and cursing. They saw themselves as apart from God, and so they hid. Well, we can understand that, can't we? We do not want to see a view of ourselves as shamed creatures before a holy, righteous God. We cannot bear a view of ourselves or as others as being shamed and destroyed. That's why we turn away from God. That's why we run away from God. That's why we hide ourselves from God. That's why we put on our mask, do the best we can, all the while continuing to hide from the all-glorious, all-seeing God of all creation. That's why people are haunted by their past. Do you realize this morning there are some people who are here and yet who are living with something that took place 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years or more ago, and they've never moved beyond it. They carry it with them wherever they go. It's why the sleepless nights, the restless attitude, the bitter hearts. It's why incessantly, if we could define it, beating in our hearts and our minds is this question: what are we going to do with our shame? Let's consider another question this morning. What is God's response? Would it help you to know this morning that God's response is pursuit? The very thing we do not want when we feel ashamed. God came for them when God cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" In essence, God was saying, "I want to see you. I want to see you." In doing so, God laid bare what Adam was trying to cover up. And the enemy was forced to crawl on his belly eating dirt. He who was a shining angel of light is now judged to crawl upon the dirt. But God shamed and ruined creatures who are often afraid of God and wonder if God will treat them like the enemy. The Bible teaches are gently covered by God himself and promised redemption. That covering in the garden required that blood be shed. Blood was required to wash and restore. The psalmist wrote, "God is our glory and the lifter of our heads." And yet, centuries go on. Wars, hate, children sacrificed, the people of God abandoning him and shaming themselves and each other over and over and over again. Glory lost, seemingly irretrievable. And then, a baby. Jesus of Nazareth, born to an unwed mother. Shameful. He who walked the roads with women in his company. Shameful. He who touched lepers, demoniacs, and bothered with children. Shameful. He who sold for the price of a slave. Shameful. He who was arrested by the religious leaders and publicly insulted, shameful. He who was dragged to the front of jeering crowds, shameful. He who was set on high, naked, struck, beard plucked out, spit upon, humiliated, shameful. He who was erected on one of the most torturous and shaming instruments in the history of the world. Shameful. He was shamed by the world that he created. He became shame. He embodied it so all could see. Jesus did not hide. We who are shame creatures, whether by our own doing or the torment of others, are called in the Bible to look and to fix our eyes upon this Jesus, has utterly exposed and utterly shamed Jesus. This is what the Bible calls us to do in the book of Hebrews. We as shame creatures are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Jesus did not hide when he was shamed. And we are called to see. Watch him. Look upon him enduring the insult, the nakedness, the jeering, the pain, the spit running down. We don't want to see that. But he says, watch with me. Stare down my shame with me. And then we're told he despised the shame. Not feared it. Not diminished by it. Not curled up in hiding from the shame. No. The Bible says he despised the shame. The word despised, it means to hate, to loathe, to abhor, to consider worthless. Jesus considered worthless the very thing that leads us to feel and to believe that we are utterly worthless before a holy God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Are you aware that the Greek word for hate means to spit on someone in your heart? And the Bible tells us that Jesus hid not his face from shame and spitting. And yet hiding our faces is what we want to do when we feel shame. Isn't it? Children do it instinctively. But the Bible tells us that he did not hide. He despised it. In essence, Jesus spit on the shame. To him, it carried no value. Jesus spit on being spit on. He scorned scorn. He diminished shame itself. One of the most diminishing agents of human beings. Bible teaches that Jesus shamed shame. He did not hide. He did not curse. And he did not shrink. Jesus hated shame. And he stared it straight in the face. And then, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, full of glory. Jesus despised shame and sat in glory. We're shamed and glory disappears. He faced shame and transformed it into glory. On the cross, Jesus spits back, not on shameful humans, those warped, twisted, and bent, and yet still created in his image. No, Jesus spits on the shame that we've spilled upon him. Jesus refused to let it define him, diminish him, or destroy his work and purpose. And what was his work and purpose? To change our shame into glory. Have you ever stopped to consider we're there with him on that cross? All of us bearing the shame of our own sins and the sins of others against us. And he did not hide from that shame. And rather than despising us, he despised the shame. And in so doing, Jesus carried shameful creatures like us back to glory. Jesus transformed shame into glory. The writer of 2 Corinthians puts it this way, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We who oftentimes hide our faces from him can now behold him, can now see him and be seen by him without shame. And as we do, we are transformed, we are changed from glory into glory. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, the Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Is that where your eyes are fixed this morning? Is that where your eyes are fixed on a daily basis? Isn't it more true that our eyes are more often than not fixed on us or fixed on someone else, but they're not fixed on Jesus? We are called to fix our eyes on him. The great despiser of shame. This Jesus, who left his glory in heaven to come to earth to redeem his creation. For God so loved the world. He ain't talking about the planet. He's talking about you, me, and everybody else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him can despise the shame, fix their eyes upon him, and shall not perish but have eternal life. This Jesus This is the Jesus we talk about here in this church. This is the Jesus of the Bible. This Jesus who left His glory in heaven came to earth to redeem you. This Jesus suffered outside the gate in a place of shame to make a despised people holy. Therefore, let us who can look upon Him with open face. We who have been given glory, let us go outside with Him outside of the camp bearing His reproach. Go and bear His reproach. Be chided. Be reproached by others like He was for lifting fallen people, strengthening the faint, touching the lepers, and bringing life to dead places. Go to the shamed and bend down and lift them up. Go to the shamed of this world and bring them a taste of His glory. The glory that He's given to you. The glory that He's given to this church family. The glory that He has given by His shed blood. Go. And God forbid that we should ever glory in anything else except the cross of Christ. That shaming instrument of torture that brings glory to ruin humans. You know what the Bible tells us? It says, go. Go! You know what it's like to be shamed. Go. You've been given glory. Your shame is gone. Your sin has been cast away. Now get up and go. Why are we to go? Because there are people in our community. There's people in your family. There's people in my family who will not come to church. Because of their shame. And you and I, who know the love of Christ, whose sins have been washed, who have been set free, who have been changed into His image, into the glory of Him, we are now called to go. We're called to go and be His feet and His hands in a world of shame. We're called to go and carry the message of the cross and salvation to those who are despised, those who are broken. We're called to go. Not fear, but go. The answer to the question, what are we going to do with our shame? Is simply this. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and be washed in His blood. Come to Jesus in repentance and be cleansed of your shame and of your guilt. Come to Jesus so that you can do what Christ did and despise the shame. Come to Jesus so that you can now live glorying in the cleansing power of His blood and His so great salvation. Oh, come to Jesus. That's how you overcome shame. That's how you get rid of the restless nights. That's how you get rid of your guilt. You come to Jesus. That's why the cross is shaped like this. Because His arms are open wide. You come. You come to Him. You fix your eyes upon Him. This morning, as we bring this message to a close, my hope and my prayer is that you'll remember this. The child of God has the God of all creation on his side. And he loves you. But more importantly, Jesus is calling out to you today. And he's saying, I want to see you. Stop hiding. I want to see you. You are important to me. Not what you have done. Not what you think you've done. You. That's all I'm interested in. You. I want to see you. Will you come to Jesus? You see, the choice is yours. We humans, we've perfected hiding. Do you want to remain hiding? Or do you want to come and be set free? If you remain hiding, you're going to remain in your shame. Is that really what you want? When Jesus stands with his arms open wide, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus doesn't want you as a Christian to wait for heaven to enjoy the victory over sin and Satan. You can have that today, right here and right now. And if you're lost, you can be set free from the bondage of sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost this morning, you're listening online or you're here in this church building, believing that there's no way God could love you, my hope and my prayer is that you would realize, friend, that's simply not true. Jesus loves you. There is nothing that you have done, no sin that you have committed, that Jesus cannot wash you, cleanse you, and make you whole. Jesus will receive you if you will come to him in repentance. I'm going to ask you who are here this morning to bow your heads. I don't know what God may be saying to you, but I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Would you begin praying right now for those who are listening online that they have been convicted and will come to know Christ as Savior? And if you're listening online and you're ready to receive Christ's love, would you simply pray these words from your heart sincerely? Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Oh Lord, be my Savior. Be my Lord. Father, you know what I've done. Lord, will you forgive me? I've heard that old preacher say that you love me this morning, and I believe it. I believe it because he's telling me what the Bible says. And oh Lord, I'm so sorry for the things that I've done. And oh Lord, I got nowhere to go but to turn to you, and so I am this morning. Oh Lord, forgive me. Will you wash me in your blood and cleanse me and make me whole? Will you be my Lord and my Savior? Come into my heart right now, Jesus, and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're online this morning, you prayed that prayer, I want you to rest assured that Jesus has heard your prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus has heard your prayer, and if you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart this morning, you need to know you have salvation in Christ. on the screen right now is an email address and a phone number. Would you email the church, as many others have? Would you call the church? Would you tell them of your decision? Tell us and share with us of your decision to receive Christ this morning. You might wonder why. It's because we want to put a Bible in your hands. We want to get materials into your hands that will help you in your walk with Christ. In just a moment, Jimmy's going to come and lead us in song. That's a time for us right here. I ask you to begin thinking about what God has said to you today. What decision is God calling you to make this morning? As we get ready to stand and sing, perhaps you need to come and give your heart to Jesus today. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Perhaps there's some other reason. Maybe you just need to come and give it to the Lord. Brother Jimmy, would you come? Would you lead us in an invitational hymn?